free to ask a question. I'll kind of, so my name's Sheila Orr. I'll kind of be monitoring the chat. If I feel like the question is something that we like is a pressing question, I'll interrupt and ask it. Otherwise, I'll kind of hold it till the end. But if you see someone else ask a question and you have an idea or you've done something that you think is like, and you can answer it, feel free to answer it. It's kind of like a space for you guys to talk. But we will go ahead and get started. So, Christine, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself and talk a little bit about yourself.
Hi everyone, welcome. I am super excited. Thank you for joining me. It's actually my first webinar, so I hope everyone can hear me okay and hope you get something out of it. And I'm really thankful for Global Maths for letting me come on and share what I've learned over the last 10 years or so over in Australia. So I'll get straight into it. We've got heaps to share. If I had a dollar for every time my name was mispronounced, I would be a rich woman. And what I learned was that it's always interesting when I draw a picture, I help my students so much. And that's how I usually get my name pronounced correctly. And I didn't understand why that was so powerful, but only a few years ago, I actually these two questions were on my desk, and I actually understand now why it is so powerful to learn to draw a visual for the students and how it makes their learning so much more powerful. So hopefully this evening you'll see some pictures that you will find that you could use and make them a powerful learning tool in your classroom. So let's get on with it. I usually draw, this is how I explain it to my kids, and I usually say, "What do you understand my meaning to be by this picture?" And they'll say to me, "Oh yeah, miss, it's a cat." And I say, "Yep, great." And I say to them, "How did you learn apple, ball, cat? Did you start with the letters and the words, or did you start with the pictures?" And usually they'll say, "Yep, it was the pictures, miss." And I'll say, "Okay, so if I write this down, what picture do you have to go with that?" So it's a silly picture, but you have a picture and you can understand my meaning of the words that I've written. And then if I share this picture with you, what's the words that you associate with that? And the kids will say a heart, love. And I say, "Yeah, it could mean courage, lots of different meanings." So I need a combination of the visual picture and the words or the language in mathematics, the symbolic notation, to actually understand the meaning of what I'm trying to draw. So then I give them this word and I say, "So what does sponge mean? What picture do you have with sponge? And if you think you have a picture for sponge, please put it in the chat box." And actually, it's a made-up word, and you can't understand my meaning because you don't have a picture. And if we as math teachers don't give our students a picture for them to match with the symbolic notation, we're asking them just to remember. We're not asking them to understand our meaning. So here are some pictures that I use to help my kids visualize. The first one is this box, and it's actually an equals sign. So if you look at it as an equals sign, so the five and the question mark is one part of the equals and the eight is the other. And by showing them a picture of the box, I'm not forcing them to do a subtraction or an addition. It's whatever they want. And if you've got young kids, you can put counters in those boxes. You can, color in teddy bears, whatever it is. But that's the picture that I use to show my kids what the relationship is between the numbers. You can see that five is more than half of eight. On the right-hand side, the doubling one, this to me is the first brick in the yellow brick road of teaching kids multiplication. It shows that it's two equal groups, and I have lots of other visuals to show them, because by the time they get to algebra, we want them to be able to say, if I say to them 2x is 14, I want them to be able to say, oh, it's 7. So the unit size is a 7. So what I've made, and all the documents I've put in a box thing, and Sheila's got the link and the link's there, and it's all at the end of the presentation as well. But this is showing the relationship, the visuals and the mathematical symbolic notation for, just for example, 8 and 3. So 8 and 3 are 11, whether they are 1s, which is the top left, whether they are 10s, top right, 100s, bottom left, and it doesn't even matter what size unit I have. So they could be tenths, they could be 11ths, they could be hundredths, they could be 50 seconds. It doesn't matter. It always holds true. And that's the difference, what I think, between English and mathematics. English has I before E, except after C, and then they've got all these exceptions. But with mathematics, 8 and 3 is 11, and it doesn't even matter what size the unit or the piece is. So actually, I could say 8 sevens, which is 56, plus 3 sevens, which is 21, that's the bottom center picture, is 11 sevens, 77. And the pure abstraction of that, or the generalization of that pattern of 8 and 3 is 11, whether they are ribbons or elephants or whatever they are, 8 triangles, 3 triangles is 11 triangles. And the algebraic notation for that is 8 of anything, or 8e plus 3e is 11e. But it doesn't matter what size the unit is, it's always the same. Am I going too fast, or is it okay, or is my accent a little bit too hard to understand? If it is, just let me know. Thanks, Molly. Great. All right, so the first brick road, so if you've got a pen and paper, could you please draw a box? Because this is the start of the yellow brick road. This is always where I start. I ask my students if I'm going to double, so I draw the box, and when I say double, I said double once, so it's one horizontal line. And often I will use, I will chuck in like 37 or something where they have to carry, just so that I can see if they've got their place value good, you know, because if they don't, I'll see it straight away. So that's that one. And then the next one is, well, two twos are four, so four of anything is just double double. So again, I draw the box. I said double double, so that's two horizontal lines. So if you draw a box, put two horizontal lines, pull the line through vertically in the middle, through to one above the answer box, and then halve the other ones. That's the way I show my students how to draw that box. The bonus of teaching these sorts of boxes is I have just actually taught you 50% and I have actually just taught you 25% as well. So these are not just a one-trick pony type questions. I use them lots and lots and lots. So here's one. Double, double, double. So 8 is 2 times 2 times 2. And we know that that's a big misconception because they'll often say, oh, it's 6. So draw yourself a box. That's number one. I said double, double, double. So you need 3 horizontal lines. That's picture 2. Pull the vertical line right through to just under your answer box and then draw 2 on each side of that. Then when you halve the last one, you'll actually get 8 boxes across the top. Okay? So now put a 7 in each box on the top line. So we're going to practice 8 sevens. So there it is. So doubling 7 gives me 14. Doubling 14 gives me 28. And doubling 28 gives me 56. So all I ever ask my students to do is either double or multiply by 10. That's it. And I actually have some other examples. Three is double and one more group. Five most kids know because of the time, and they're pretty good with that. Six, you can either think of five groups plus one more or double three groups. So if I said to you 42 divided by six, I could put the 42 in my box. I could halve it to give me 21. And then I could say either what's a third of 21 or three times what number would give me 21. So they work both ways. They work both ways. Sevens are the toughest because it's the prime number thing. I usually say to the kids, just do a turnaround fact. And that means that the only one that they would have to actually remember is seven sevens are 49. And they can either do five and two more or six and one more or whatever it is that they need. But that's probably the trickiest one. And I just want to show you some of the things that I've made for my kids. I call them math strats, and in Australia we say mathematics or maths. So math strats. And so we go through all of these, and then this is the summary that I've got. I also have some posters that I put up around the room. You'll note all of my stuff is actually colour coded. So if you remember the 8 and 3, the 8 was pink and the 3 was yellow. It's just another visual that I use with the kids, and each one of those maths facts I actually then put two on one great big poster just to remind the kids. Because basically that once you get to secondary school or year 7 or grade 7 or whatever you call it, everything relies on being able to multiply, whether it's ratios, percentages, gradient, you name it, all algebra. If the kids can't do multiplication, it makes it pretty tough. It makes it really, really, really tough. So, next one. So, the epiphany that I had with, and I don't know whether you call it partitioning or boxes or I call them arrays, the rectangular grid things. The epiphany that I had was that it's basically just flicking between a multiplication and an add. And that's the really, really cool part. Multiplication is always about equal groups. Adding can be about equal groups, but usually it's about unequal groups. And I've got loads of pictures, but the one about the meatballs is that my dad's cousin in Holland always used to count how many meatballs she would put in her tomato soup because they were a family of four, and she always gave everyone the same number of meatballs. So that's my little thing. And when I was tutoring a boy, he had a question that the average of two numbers was 9. What could the numbers be? So those numbers, if you wanted to type in, could be anything. So I could have 18 and 0. I could have had 20 minus 2. I could have had 10 plus 8. And this idea that when I'm adding, there are infinite solutions, but when I'm multiplying, there's only one. And that's how I explain it now. I don't harp on, you know, getting rid of the brackets, putting into brackets. I'm saying we're going from multiply to an add or an add to a multiply. So that's the key for me when I'm sharing with my kids. Because once you get over 10 or 12, asking them to double and add one more group is pretty tricky. Or they'll start going 3, 6, 9 and trying to do that 17 times. Now, I want my students to think in this box idea, and I want them to, and I normally would have put a box in here, but I haven't got a box in there. But it's a box that's got a 3 on the outside and a 10 and a 7 above the top. So that I want the kids to start thinking 3 lots of 10 is 30, and 3 lots of 7 is 21. So when I add those two together, I would get 51. This is my other standard question that I do. 12 times 13, because most kids, even if they can't do the algorithm that we teach them, they know 12 12s are 144, and then they can add one more group. But they don't have a picture of what that really looks like. So here is my picture. And we build it up, and I say, well, what numbers could I make 12 out of? How much is the 1 worth? How much is the 2 worth? So that's where the 10 and the 2 come from. So, you know, I've got 13 12 times, or I've got 12 13 times. Oh, sorry, Sue, turnaround facts. So if I said to you 7 eighths, I could do 8 sevens. Or if I could do 3 fives, I could do 5 threes. Yeah? Okie dokes. So I spend some time, because it doesn't actually matter which numbers I choose to make up my 12. And, you know, if you want to write a plus, you know, so that it's 10 plus 3 and 10 plus 2 or whatever you want to do, you write that down to help your kids. Whatever works for them is great. But they could have been any numbers. But when you're trying to teach vertical multiplication, the 10, the whole place value thing, is what makes it work easily. So the picture is the bit on the left, and if you have to teach them the algorithm, you can see where each of the pieces comes from. So 2 times 3 is 6. They're 1s times 1s, and that gives me 1s. Then I've got 2 times the 1 of the 13, but it's not 1, it's a 10. So there's my 2 10s, because 1s times 10s gives me 10s. And then the 1 of the 12 is actually a 10, so I've got 10 times 3, and that also gives me 3 10s. And the last one is 10 times 10s gives me 100, so 100. And there's my 156, and I try and encourage, yep, partial product. I know we use those words here too, and I just use an array because that's what the kids come through with from primary school over here. Whatever works for you is great. And I see how I circled that bit in purple, because those ones are actually the ones that have the same sized unit. So 2 10s and 3 10s is just 5 10s or 50. And that's what we want them to see when we do the algebra stuff. Yeah? That makes it easier for them to see. So I also go through this. If you know 12 times 13 is 156, what would your answer be? And then I write them one at a time, right? So I say, okay, what about 120 times 13? And we have a conversation. How did the 12 become 120? I want them to see that it's 10 times bigger. It's not adding a zero. It's not holding the place. It is actually 10 times bigger. So my answer will be 10 times bigger. And you know what? It's the same for 12 times 130. So that's multiplying by 10. Then we look at dividing by 10. And I say, well, how does 12 become 1.2? Well, that's a division of 12. Dividing by 10. And I actually have a number slider. I don't know if you've ever seen those, but the decimal point always stays in the same spot and the number slides. So I've made a video and some bits and pieces to go with that. So that's all in the box folder. So they need to understand that 1.2 is 10 times smaller than 12. And then the answer to 1.2 times 1.3 being 1.56 is really logical to them. They understand there's none of this rote learning, I suppose, they can see the pattern. So, yeah, I'll try and find the video I made for it after, if I've got time, to show it to you. So that's where I started. Now, what does the word factor mean to you? This is one of those words that we use as teachers, and I've pretended to teach it, and I sort of did a vague job of doing it. But what does it actually mean to you? Yeah, yep. And I found with algebra tiles, Jordan, because in Australia the algebra tiles don't have x squared, x, and one on them, I've actually made my own with those printed on it as well. So, yeah. So this is some of the stuff that I use, excuse me, to explain what a factor means. So here's my array or box or rectangle or whatever you want to call it. And 3 and 4 mean that they are factors of 12 because I can make a rectangle. Yeah, a number that's multiplied by another number. And then I say to the kids, so 4 and a half times 2 is that equals 9. Does that mean that 2 and a half is a factor? And I think it's so vague, and it's this notion of having leftovers in the beginning. And the kids can actually make with 12 blocks. They can see that, you know, if they had a row of 5 and another row of 5, there'd be 2 left over. And that's not an array because the rows and the columns aren't equal. So this factoring thing is about making this rectangle or making this array and not having leftover bits. So, to stop the misconception that x is always 10, you know, here's an example with 5. So across the top, I've got 5 plus 3 and 5 plus 2. So I'm mimicking what I had on the previous slide. So 5 times 5 is 25. The 3 times 5 or 3 5s is over there on the right. 2 5s I've got down there, and then 2 3s are 6. And circled in purple yet again, I've added them up. 15 and 10 is 25, plus my other 25 is 50, plus my 6. But if you're thinking about the area and the length and the width, it's a length and a width of 8 by 7. So it's actually 8 sevens of 56. I'm not saying it's an efficient way, but I just want to show the kids that it's not always 10. Because that's not particularly useful. But if I asked you to draw a box and set it up with one vertical line and one horizontal line, and I asked you to do 103 and 102, so I'm asking you to do 102 times 103, can you see how much easier that is? And I want the kids to see that the word that I'm using, 2 fives, 2 tens, whatever that is, that unit is actually the word that I'm using. So here I've got 5s is my unit. And then the next step in the pattern is, well, what would any number plus 3 be? And what would any number plus 2 be? And what would that look like? So here I've got x plus 3 and x plus 2. So any number plus 3 and any number plus 2. So I've got x squared plus 3x plus 2x plus 6. So 3 fives, 3 tens, 3 of whatever the unit is. 2 fives, 2 tens, 2 of whatever the unit is. And those ones are the same, the ones in purple. They're the same ones. They're the like terms that I can collect together. And I heard it once on actually one of the Global Math Department talks. One lady said, hamburger, fries, and a drink. So like if you think of the X squared as a hamburger, the X's are the fries and the six is a drink, I can only add burgers and burgers. So if that's a way that you can, you know, scaffold it for your students, then that works. I use it all the time now too. And depending on whether you're working through expanding or factorising, just give them, you know, you can either give them the outside or you can give them the brackets or whatever it is. So it depends on what you're teaching them. And just give them lots of examples to show them whether the six is a plus or a minus and what's the middle bit in the middle that I can actually get from that. So, and you can see where the combinations. Of course, I want our students to, I want them to be able to do the shortcuts. You know, and I don't know how you do it in America, but in Australia we write X and X underneath each other, and on the other side we write 3 and 2, 6 and 1, and you know, do a crisscross and that sort of thing. To me, that's running a marathon. And I've got to teach them how to crawl and walk before I ask them to run a marathon. Yeah, so that's my rationale for it. So a perfect square. Here's a perfect square. So it's X plus 3, so any number plus 3 and any number plus 3. And usually we write, you know, X squared twice the product of the middle bits and the last number squared. But when you do enough examples of them, you can show them where it actually comes from. So I get my X squared from my X times my X. I get my 9 from my 3 times my 3. And then what's left over is X times 3 and X times 3, which is 2 lots of 3X. And you can see where that comes from. And how that works together. And so rather than tell them that it's the product of, you know, X and 3, 2 times the product of X and 3, they can actually see it. And we can do quadratics that don't have a 1 in the front as well. If I asked you to factorise 2X squared plus 7X plus 3, well, I've got to get 2X squared. How could I get 2X squared? Well, 2X times X. And I know that the number is always going to be in the bottom right-hand corner. So I can either have a 1 at the top and a 3 down the bottom or the other way around. And the kids need to see that it's not the same because of that 2X. So if I did this and I had 2X plus 3 times X plus 1, I would get a 3X in the top right and a 2X in the bottom left. But that would only give me 5X. So that's not okay. That's not what I want. So I can flick it around the other way and see what happens with that. Oh, hang on. There we go. Is that right? Yep. So if I flicked it around the other way and I put the 1 at the top and the 3 down the bottom, what would I get? I'd get X, and 3 times 2X is 6X. So now when I add my like terms, I've got 7X. And that means that when I factorise, when I go from an addition to a multiplication, I've now got X plus 3 times 2X plus 1. So that, it makes a difference. So it's good for my students to see that. So have a go at drawing these boxes. And I usually say to my students that you are only allowed to use the number 10 one time. So for one of those boxes. So take a moment and I will listen to the silence as you draw boxes for 20 squared, 19 squared and 18 squared. This is what I've done with my year 8s. So they're about 13. Around that age, and we go off looking for patterns. So have a go at that, and I'll be back in a minute and see how you went. Please feel free to ask questions too, anytime. So if you want to put in the chat box what numbers you used for 20 squared, what numbers you used for 19 squared, and what numbers you used for 18 squared, and I'll show you what I did. And see if anyone actually did the same. So I used 10 for my 20 squared, and I actually did 20 minus 1 for 19. So 20 minus 1 is my 19. I just wanted to show you a little bit different way of doing it. You could have done any combination. You could have done 12 and 7. You could have whatever. You could have done 10. No, you've used 10 already. Whatever combi you could have used to make 19, that would have been fine. And for the 18 squared, I just wanted to show 9 and 9, because then I have a conversation with the students about, okay, so what's 4 lots of 80 and what's 4 lots of 1? So 4 lots of 80 is 320, because 4 lots of 8 is 32, and it's just 10 times bigger. And so on and so on. But the beautiful part about this is then you go looking for patterns. And then we went off like this. And I said, rightio, let's look for a pattern. And I said, rightio, 20 squared take away 18 squared. And we had the numbers there ready to go. I actually did from 20 through, excuse me, to 16. So I gave myself a few more combinations to work with. And I said, okay, 20 squared minus 18 squared. So I've got 400, I've got to take away 324, I've got 76. Let's have a look. What is 20 plus 18 multiplied by 20 minus 18? Well, lo and behold, 20 plus 18 is 38, 20 minus 18 is 2, and 2 lots of 38 is 76. That's interesting that they are both the same. Did it work for another combination? And here's 19 squared minus 18 squared. So 19 squared is 361. 18 squared is 324. Difference of 37. Yeah, little kids love to be able to do this sort of stuff. And look, my other kids got blown away by it too. And it's so powerful. It is so powerful. And when I add 19 and 18, I get 37, and their difference is 1. And when you think about people not having a calculator not that long ago, squaring numbers would have been done quite regularly, and finding their difference, because it is actually Pythagoras' theorem, c squared minus a squared equals b squared, you can actually do that, and the hardest thing you have to find is adding them together and subtracting them and multiplying that. That's a much easier way to go than working out 19 squared and working out 18 squared and then finding their difference. It's just easier to go 19 plus 18, 19 minus 18, and multiply that. So I actually made my students choose their own two numbers between 50 and 100, and they put them, some put them on the board and whatever else. And then we looked for the pattern. So I didn't, and we actually went through the process of, well, what would we call it? Yeah, it, the pattern is just the kicker. It's beautiful. If the kids can't do it in numbers, if they can't multiply in numbers, if they can't divide in numbers, if they can't do that in numbers, it makes it extraordinarily difficult for them to do it with abstract notation such as algebra. So, okay, I started with, all right, what's the symbol between the two squared numbers? I didn't actually say squared numbers because I said, you know, I pointed to the subtract and I said, okay, it's a subtract, it's a minus, it's a difference. All right, we'll call it difference. What's the first one? It's a square. What's the second one? It's a square. So we called it difference of two squares, you know, and they even named it that. So it was pretty cool. It was a pretty cool lesson. And then I could build in, well, you know, X and all sorts of other stuff. So that was pretty cool. All righty. Let's go on to division because I found that even the kids that are good with multiplication aren't so crash hot on their division. And when you start to, you know, and whether you give them a real life example of $40 shared between eight people or, you know, in context or on a worksheet, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is that they've got to be able to do that division because it's not natural for them to count by eights. But I want them to think about what I've taught them about eight, and eight is double, double, double. So, you know what? I'm going to flick that around and I'm going to do half, half, half. So I put my 40 in the bottom, so I've got my box. I say, well, what's half of 40? 20. What's half of 20? 10. What's half of 10? 5. Okay, so 8 fives are 40. 40 divided by 8 is 5. And that's something that they can do, and they can even, once they've had practice with the boxes, they can do it in their head. And I've had grade 3 kids able to do this sort of stuff. There was one boy, my friend, I taught it to her, she's a teacher of 25 years, and she said one of her boys did 63 times 8 in his head, a grade 3 boy, and he shared it with the class and he felt so proud. So it doesn't matter how old the kids are, they can do it. And my other standard question that I use is 42 divided by 3. And the kids that have been taught to do the turnaround fact, you know, 3 times what is 14, they're stuck because it's bigger than 10. And they don't know bigger than 10 or 12. And so, you know, it's tricky. And so then they go, well, I could start counting by 3s. And you think, well, you know, this might work for a really small number, but efficient, accurate, repeatable. I don't know if that's going to be, you know, for bigger numbers. And they do actually need to understand short division. And these are some of the resources that I've made. And the math strats for division are also in the box thing. And these are some of the posters that I've made to go around with it. So that's all there as well. And this, I'll just put this in here. I found that one before. This is my sharing is caring board. What I want them to see is the green is how much I've got. So whether it's 42 or whatever I've got to share, it's in that green. And you can see on the left-hand side, they're my people. How many have I got to share them with? So if I had 3 people, I would go to the yellow one. If I had 8 people, I would go to the pink one. The 8 and 3, the 11 thing, it's pink is 8, 3 is 11. A 3 is yellow. And the answer is across the top. So if you watch the video, I explain it a bit better. But with the partial products or array multiplication type idea, you can actually start to do this sort of stuff with it. And this becomes powerful to learn for the kids. So I say to them, 42 divided by 3. So I've got 42 to share between 3 people. Do I know what 3 times 10 is? And have I got that? Yes, I do. So I've used 30. So my 3 times 10 is my 30. I've got 42 to share. How many are left over to still share? I've got 12 left over. Oops, hang on. Press the button. I've got 12 left to share. And then I say, well, can I share 12 between 3 people? They would each get 4. You can do this with even smaller numbers, like, you know, 15 divided by 3. Anything works with these arrays. I'll just show you this one. Because it scaffolds beautifully that notion of short division. So the 3 is how many am I sharing between. The 42 is how much I've got to share, and the 14 is how much they each get. So that's how I've started teaching division. And usually, if the kids don't know how many 3s there are in 12, you can say, do you know what double 3 is? And then they'll say 6. And so you can actually put that 12, you can break it up into 2 sixes and put a 2 and a 2, and it's the same answer. So it doesn't matter if they only know 2, that's great. However they get there is fine by me. So let's go back. Let's go back and think about that x squared plus 5x plus 6 for a minute. That was the one that I had there originally. So when x is 10, right, I had 10 squared, which was 100, 5 tens is 50, and 6 is 156. Divided by, if x is 10, that bottom line would be 12. And the answer would be 10 plus 3, or 13. So with numbers, that's what we did. Then I did x equals 5. So x squared was 25, plus 5 times 5 is another 25, plus 6. That was my 56 divided by 5 plus 2, which was 7. So I've got 56 divided by 7 equals 8, 5 plus 3. So this is the pure abstraction of that. So let's have a look. I know that I've got to get x squared in the top left. I know I've got to get 6 in the bottom on the right. And I'm dividing by x plus 2. So there's going to be a 2 either at the top or the bottom. I've drawn it on the top. It doesn't matter which way you draw it. But I've drawn it this way. So that I've got 2x in that top right-hand box. If I have to make a total of 5x, it means I need 3x more. So 2x plus 3x gives me the 5x, which means that on the outside of the box on the left, I must have a 3 to give me that 3x, because the 3 times the x gives me the 3x. Does that make sense? It's tricky talking to a screen the whole time. because that's what I want them to see, because it works for any number and every number. That's the whole point of it. And so we usually teach them factorising. We don't do this sort of thing. But what I found was that this is actually great for doing cubic polynomial division, because kids in Australia don't do a lot of long division, and so we usually end up teaching them when they're 16, 17, we teach them long division, and it's tricky and all that sort of stuff. So if we give them something like this, x cubed minus 6x squared plus 11x minus 6, and I was going to divide that by x minus 2, what would that look like? Well, I'm dividing by x minus 2, so that goes across the top. And my first term is x cubed. That means that on the left, I must have x squared, because that's the only place that I'm going to get x cubed. If I put that x squared on the outside That actually means that in that box on the right, minus 2 times x squared is going to give me negative 2x squared. I've got to get to minus 6x squared. So that means I need to have another negative 4x squared. So that means under the x cubed, I will have to be having a minus 4x squared. And how will that come about? Well, it means that I've got to have minus 4x on the left. And that actually produces minus 4x times minus 2 would give me 8x. So that gives me 8 out of my possible 11 that I've just catered for. So now, if I've got to get to 11 and I've got 8 already, it means that I've got to get 3 more. So underneath that minus 4x squared, I'll have to add another 3x to get 11x, which means that underneath that minus 4x, and this is the only typo I made, and I only realized it the other day, and I thought, oh, damn. So 3 times x is 3x, but 3 times negative 2 should be minus 6, because that gives me the last term. And on the right-hand side, you can see where all the numbers come from, where we normally teach it. And I just teach the kids this is the way you do it. But I found with the boxes, it really just gives them a picture to hang their hat on, and it helps them to understand. Yeah. So that went really quickly. And I have lots of time for questions if anyone's got time, if anybody's got any questions. I know that that went really, really quickly, and I spoke very quickly because I wanted to share so much. But if you've got any questions, if you want, please put them in. I'll just wait a minute. And how can I see the slider? Let me quickly go to YouTube and find the slider. And hang on, where do I, YouTube, let me, my thing, let me see if I can find it. Number slider. I don't know if I take a screenshot whether it'll work. This is what it looks like. I don't know how this is going to work, but we can try. Sheila, is there any way I can actually share that? How do I do that?
Is it a video or just a photo?
I've just taken a screenshot of my page. It's a Word document.
If you save it, let's see. You might be able to if you go to up at the top where it says file.
Yep, upload.
And then, upload it as a file. And then I think if you click on it, you'll switch between that and the actual PowerPoint.
Okay, I will try that.
Let's see if that works.
All righty. Do you see the number slider now?
Yes.
Okay. And what I do is I always start with 25. So I put a 2 in the tens and a 5 in the ones, and I say we've got 25 pieces to share between 10 people. and I draw 25 pizzas, two rows of 10 and a group of five. And we look at what happens. And so I say, okay, have I got enough to give one pizza to every person? And I'll get one of the students to write up, and they'll put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 in the first row of 10 pizzas. I say, have I got enough to give them another whole pizza? Yes, I have, miss. Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So they've all got two pizzas each. I've got five left over. What am I going to do? And then they say, well, give them half each. Okay, how do I do that? And then student will come up and they'll divvy those five pizzas in half. And then in that first pizza, there'll be 1, 2. In the second pizza, there'll be 3, 4. Third pizza, 5, 6. Fourth pizza, 7, 8. Fifth pizza, 9, 10. And okay, and I say, so how much does each person get? And then they can see that person one had two whole pizzas and a half a pizza. And I actually go through, and depending on the age of your students, I will redraw those pizzas as rectangles, as five rectangles, and I will say, okay, how does this 0.5 relate to the half? And I get them to the point where they say, well, I've got to share each pizza between 10. And so then they share each pizza between 10, and then we go through that process again. So in that first rectangular pizza that's been shared into tenths, I then put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The second pizza, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so on and so on and so on. And then they can actually see that it's 5/10. The size of the piece is a tenth, and person one got five of them. Does that make sense? Great, thanks. Yeah, I actually stick my number slider to a whiteboard and I walk around with it. And then we just practice other ones. So that master, is in the Dropbox as well. The only thing is the kids tend to write sideways on it in the way that they read it. So I'm tossing around the idea of actually writing it horizontally rather than vertically. But I don't know. Can I see this? Hang on a secchi. No. It's not formatted because it was a Word document. There is also one that's got the timesing by 10 and dividing by 10 with arrows on it. So there's ones that don't have the arrows. I usually give the kids the blank ones that look like this and then get them to write on there. Absolutely, Chris, because that's how I was taught. We hopped all these decimal places and we did all of that stuff. And then it was like, no, the decimal point never moves, Christine. And I've just gone, oh, my goodness. And kids here, I could tell which primary school they came from because of they use magic zeros and all these sorts of things, and we're actually creating misconceptions with the kids. And it's very difficult to fix those conceptions that have become misconceptions. And when the kids see this, it is powerful. They just go, oh, that's how it works. Because when they see 25, some kids don't even realize where the decimal point is. So that's another one. Yeah. But if you've got any questions, please feel free to email me. Now, how do I go back to that one? Aha. We're in. Oh, hang on. Question, do you have a question? Oh, hang on. Yes, the kids write the numbers and they wipe them off. Yeah, they do. For example, on 20 squared, do they ever want to use 10 and 2 on the sides? You need to build it up, Abby. You need to build it up. And sometimes if you write 10 plus 10 across the top and 10 plus 10 down the bottom to scaffold, for later on when they're doing X plus 3 and X plus 2, if that's how you want, if that helps the kids to see it, use it. to avoid the confusion. Look, it is asking them to think a bit differently. So, yep, it's not maybe, you know, the first time you do it, it's going to be a little bit different. So it's left a field, maybe a little bit tricky for them. But eventually, when I do it and I do it often enough and they see that actually, you know what, short division isn't that hard and squaring numbers isn't that hard, they get the hang of it. It takes a bit of practice like everything else, but, yeah, it does. Enjoy your dinner. Enjoy your dinner, Chris. Yep, always right. Yep, so, and exactly with the negative signs. Yep, that's exactly it. So if you could put in there what you felt was powerful learning, that would be really appreciated. And if there's any other questions, please feel free to contact me. I have got some other YouTube clips up there. And, thanks for coming.
Yes, thank you guys, everyone, so much for coming. I'm going to stop the recording now. So if you saw...